In the past few years, the coffee shop scene in Kansas City has really taken off. There are so many places that roast their own beans, make their own pastries in-house, and do a pretty respectable food service right alongside the lattes. But with all the cute new places popping up, it's almost getting hard to keep track. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And the food critics are here to help us find the best coffee shops in Kansas City. You can tweet about your favorites, too. We are at KCURCST. Charles Frusa, Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Charles has a love for a particular kind of place. He's kind of old school, so he likes what I might call diner-type places, where you can sit at the counter, and we will talk about those later in the show. Okay, Charles?
Absolutely.
But I do want to start with the new places, because holy moly, there are a lot of them. Quickly, what are the trends?
Well, as you said, a lot of coffee shops now, they roast their own beans, or at the very least, grind them on site, and they are doing a really good job of having great food along with the coffee. One of my favorite places right now, I'm really in love with Messenger Coffee and Ibis Bakery
at
the Crossroads.
That is the one everyone is talking about.
It's gorgeous. It's an old rubber factory that's been renovated, and it's three stories. There's a roastery on the second floor. There's a cafe where they actually make the Ibis Bakery bread. You can watch it coming out of the oven on the first floor.
So they roast their own beans. They make their own bread.
Yes.
This is like a very from-scratch kind of place.
It is. And you can order a real breakfast. They use the bread and have toasts. They have open-faced sandwiches for lunch. And on a beautiful day, which I know we haven't had too many of lately, you can go up on the rooftop, and they've got tables outside as well.
That's cool. Well, so that's Messenger Coffee Ibis Bakery.
Yes.
On 18th and Grand?
16th.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about Nomads, Jenny.
Yeah, Nomads is on 39th Street, and it's kind of part bar, part coffee bar, if you will. And so in the mornings, it's kind of more of a coffee place with pastries that you can get, and then in the evening, it rolls to cocktails. And so I love going in there. I think the vibe is great. It used to be the old D.B. Cooper's, which was kind of this downtrodden dive bar, but they've opened up all the windows and let in a lot of bright light. It's just a really pretty place to land with your laptop or a book. And I like to go in there and get the Gibraltar. So the Gibraltar is basically a shot of espresso, two shots of espresso and one shot of steamed milk kind of mixed together in kind of a short Libby-style Gibraltar glass.
It's a latte that's not all milk.
Right. It's a little bit more jazzy, a little bit more caffeinated, if you will. So, yeah. Cute place.
And you've mentioned the food there before. I think you've mentioned a cheese plate.
Yeah, so when we talked about the cocktail show, they have more of a cheese plate, but their menu is probably available all day long. I like to go in there and get, you know, just really anything. Any of their croissants are really good. Their chocolate or almond croissant is usually where I sit pretty comfortably. So that's what I enjoy.
And let's talk about a brand new place, Jenny, Manna?
Yeah. So this place maybe needs an asterisk in terms of a coffee shop because it really is. It's called Mana Bar at Exotic Beverage Lounge. And I fell in there thinking it was a cocktail bar. But it's actually more of kind of a coffee and tea house, maybe more of a tea house. And they have another location in Lawrence. And they serve shots of this kava liquid. And it's kind of a little bit of a relaxer. And
kava is it's a tea-esque beverage.
Right. It's a root that's pounded into a powder that can be made into a tea.
And it's kind of medicinal.
It's supposed to be very medicinal. It's from the kind of the Polynesian region. And basically, depending on what strain of root you get, you can either kind of get, you know, hyped up like a cup of coffee, get caffeinated and kind of energized, or it can really relax you. And I stumbled in there and got a shot of kava in a bit of a latte, I guess is what I would call it. So this is my coffee shop recommendation. And I have to tell you, it was the weirdest experience. Like, I relaxed. My tongue kind of went numb.
Whoa.
And I went up and talked to the gal at the counter. I was like, is this supposed to be happening? She was like, no, that happens sometimes with newbies. And I was like, yeah, I'm certainly never had this before. But I say that, and it doesn't sound very appealing. Literally an hour later when I was at my apartment, I was so relaxed. I can't even explain it.
Some people use kava to go to sleep.
Oh, my gosh. Like I said, my first experience, and it was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It was great.
So in a way, kind of the anti-coffee.
Right. I mean, you know, you can get it in tea. You can get it in coffee. You can, I'm sure, get a straight shot if you wanted.
And so this is Mana.
Mana Bar.
Okay. And
there's a cute little cafe, like the cafe area in the block building at the Nelson. That has been sitting empty for a number of years, but now it's got a coffee shop in it, which I am so excited about. I haven't been yet.
I am really excited about it, too. Key Coffee, which is in the River Market, has opened a second location.
And that's Key, Q-U-A-Y.
Right. And I think their beans are from Onyx Coffee Lab in Bentonville. If you've ever gone to the museum there, you got to go to the Onyx Lab coffee shop in Bentonville. But anyway, they have the beans from there. And you can sit anywhere in the area of the cafe. You can even go out more into the open space right in front of the new Gates of Paradise that were recently installed. And how can you beat the view of sitting? I mean, you could be in Florence. So there you are in front of the only one other cast of the Gates of Paradise in the world.
No, it's gorgeous.
And having a cup of coffee.
Okay, I want to share some recommendations from our listeners who are tweeting us. We're at KCURCST. This is a place I haven't even heard about yet. Split Log Coffee in KCK.
That's a darling little place over in KCK. And I've written about it, and I've been once, approximately once, but it's on my list to go back. They're starting to add some food service, interesting things to eat there, which I think is interesting. So it was just coffee when I went. But this little area of KCK is kind of exploding. There's little bars and restaurants, and it's over near where Slaps Barbecue is, if everybody's familiar with that. And so just adorable, tiny, traditional coffee shop.
So it's in Strawberry Hill?
Yeah, in Strawberry Hill,
oh, cool.
With baristas ready to take your order.
We're also getting a shout-out for the patio at Hi Hat Coffee on State Line.
That patio is a scene in and of itself.
Yep. Tell me more.
Well, so George Brett and a bunch of his friends tend to gather on that patio, which creates a bit of a crowd of fans who obviously want to see and be seen there. So the patio is kind of a cool, interesting place. I used to live in the neighborhood and just walk over.
Well, and a lot of kids from Pembroke Hill, parents come, and the place is tiny.
I mean, Teeny tiny.
You really have to be on the patio if you want to sit down.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, we have got lots more places to talk about, and you can also give your favorite coffee place a shout out. Just tweet us. We're at KCURCST. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and today we've got the food critics with us talking about coffee shops because there are so many places all of a sudden doing incredible things with the food and the drinks. Charles Ferruza, Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, hello again.
Hello. Hi.
Now, Charles, your list does not focus on the rosemary latte type place.
No. I'm old enough and infirm enough to remember a time when there was a real clear distinction between a coffee shop, which was more like a diner, and a coffee house, which was even in the 60s, sort of a relic of those beatnik days, where it was a coffee house was a place where you could smoke, drink coffee, pound your bongo drums, wear a beret, and maybe see some live entertainment. But they did not serve liquor. It was sort of a nightclub that wasn't a nightclub.
So, yeah, and I mean, with smoking laws being what they are, that entire picture really doesn't exist anymore.
There are places
that might have pieces of it, but then what we've been calling a coffee shop is kind of neither thing. It's
right.
Really its own animal.
Well, of course, coffee is now a completely different animal itself. It's people take it so seriously, in one case, too seriously. And and food has never been a real focus of a coffee house.
Okay, well, you are recommending three places: Nisi's, Casconi's, and Village Inn. Tell me about them.
Well, they're really all three diners in the classic sense. I love the Village Inn because it looks exactly like it did pretty much in 1967, although I wasn't here then, and I was alive but not here, and it looks like. It looks like the diner in Pulp Fiction. In fact, a lot of the staff looked like they probably could have been in Pulp Fiction, in a good way too, And they've got a great staff, a real colorful, great staff. And coffee is free when you're waiting for a table, and I think it's the only place in town where you can get a chicken fried eggs Benedict.
Chicken fried eggs Benedict. Next time I'm craving that, I know where to go.
Well, you might be pregnant again, but yeah. So, oh, and I do love Nisi's and Casconi's. If you go there for no reason other than coffee, they have one of those old-fashioned, old-school, huge stainless steel coffee tureens, you know, that probably
Yeah, awesome. Like a percolator type thing?
Yeah, and it probably holds, you know, 250 gallons of coffee at any one time.
That sounds like the quantity for a challenging morning.
It has saved many people's lives downtown.
Okay, so Charles's top choices, Nisi's, Casconi's, and Village Inn. Jenny, you are also recommending a place that is primarily thought of as a restaurant, but it happens to do coffee service, Cafe Europa Union Hill, specifically that location.
Yeah, you know, this is their new second location in Union Hill, and it's really light and bright, and it has kind of this separate area, what I'll call either a coffee bar or a cocktail bar. And they've got this, it's kind of rimmed by this giant pastry case, and they do all their pastries in-house at that location, breads as well as pastries. And you just cannot walk by that pastry case without wanting something immediately. And of course, once you have a pastry, then you need to have a coffee to go with it. They also have lots of plug-ins, so if you have your laptop, it's a great little spot to land. Plenty of seating. So it's separate from the restaurant in the way they've organized the restaurant, and I kind of like that. But in the morning, it's light and bright, sunlight streaming in kind of through
and
the front
windows. And a great patio if you want to sit outside
yes,
in the morning.
Yeah. You're right. Great patio. I completely forgot about talking about that. But I like just a cup of black coffee if I'm going to get a pastry, like something sweet. I kind of just want black coffee with it. So I tend to just keep it simple there.
And then the filling station, pretty much just across the street.
Right. The filling station deserves a mention because Messenger Coffee, the guys that own that, obviously have taken over all of the filling station locations. But this particular one on McGee has gone through a bit of a remodel, and they've revamped the menu with the help of Josh Eanes from Happy Gillis, who did some consulting work for them. And so the breakfast menu is really, really good, and their coffee has always been so, so solid. So I like one of their breakfast bowls there. And then, again, I just get it with a big, big cappuccino and enjoy my breakfast. And they have a nice outdoor patio, too. That's another place. Great patio.
That's
hopefully
a great space.
We'll all be enjoying lots of outdoor patios
Amen.
Soon.
Mm-hmm.
Crow's Coffee is really branching out with lots of new locations.
It sure is. It started in Crestwood, and that's the one I like to go to, although sometimes it's so crowded you can't get a seat. But it's really good coffee. Zach, the owner, is just a really nice, personable guy, and it's doing so well that they've expanded to several locations. I think of it as a good neighborhood joint.
And then what about, I mean, we're kind of getting into the tried and trusted territory when we're talking about Filling Station and Crow's at this point. Other places that fit that bill on your list include One More Cup. And actually, we're getting tons of listeners chiming in about One More Cup on Twitter.
One More Cup is beloved. And I mean, it's one of those places that is a neighborhood place that gives back to the neighborhood that they live in. And so people love it, as they should. And it's an adorable little place. There's a lot of focus on local ingredients. She uses local shadow milk for a lot of her dairy products there. But she has kind of some fun drinks that it's very kid focused too. The neighborhood is full of, obviously, you know, families with kids. So it's a great place to kind of even stop in with your kid. But they have something called the Curious George, which is a shot of espresso that has like banana milk and chocolate milk. It's delicious.
Okay, this all sounds awesome. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard. It's Friday, and today our food critics are helping us navigate the robust coffee scene here in town. The critics are Charles Ferruza, Mary Block, and Jenny Vergara, and we will be stopping by Jenny's home kitchen later in the show to get to know her over coffee and a treat. But let's get back to coffee shops. We're talking about the food and drinks they serve, and we're getting recommendations from our listeners via Twitter. We're hearing a lot about Monarch in Midtown, and Mary, I know you like that place.
I love that place. It's a gorgeous space, completely renovated and beautiful. The coffee bar itself is in the middle of the shop, and it's loud enough that you can have a private conversation and not be overheard because the ceilings are high, and it's really beautiful. And they've started having pastries from 1900 Barker in Lawrence there, which is a definite
Ooh,
plus
I didn't
in
know
my
that.
Book.
Well, so let's also get to you guys' recommendations. The Sundry, Mary, I didn't know that they were known for coffee.
Well, they have breakfast and lunch, and they do full full menu for those meals, but they also have coffee, they have cocktails. They recently moved to the new Westport Commons, which was the old Westport High School. So it's kind of a cool space, and they are redoing the roof so you can take your coffee or your cocktail upstairs. It's another one of those that does the coffee, cocktails, meals.
Cocktails at school.
Yeah, exactly.
And what about Pilgrim Coffee?
So Pilgrim Coffee is worth a mention because, honestly, it's one of those places that – one of the few places out south that you can really have like the true gourmet kind of downtown coffee shop experience. They have Post Coffee Co. They're actually nephews with the guy that started Post Coffee out in Lee Summit. And so they're using his beans there. And it's just a really pretty space. It's giant, over 100 seats, plenty of room for privacy to get some work done or to have a little meeting or just get together with some friends. They do scratch bakery pastries there. So I always get a cortado, which is one shot of espresso and a little bit of steamed milk. And then they have a key lime Pop-Tart there that's from scratch that I just can't live without.
Key lime Pop-Tart.
I can't live without it.
Okay, that's Pilgrim Coffee. And what about PT's?
PT's Coffee is on Southwest Boulevard, but the original location, which is still there, is in Topeka. And it's gotten a lot of write-ups. It's on the national best coffee shop list often. And my son has a good friend who loves coffee, has a spreadsheet of all the great coffee spots across the country.
That's serious. A spreadsheet
very
is serious.
Serious. And he had a meeting here in town not too long ago, and he drove to Topeka just to go. And I said, Brian, there's a PT's in Kansas City. He said, no, I have to go to the original. It's great coffee.
What about, I might be pronouncing this wrong, Cafeteria? The spelling looks fancy.
Cafeteria is the new spot that's opened up inside the Prairie Village Shops. And this place is kind of a great little breakfasty, lunchy, kind of early dinner place. Basically, she has a full coffee bar. You can order any of the coffee.
She being Joe Marie.
Yes, thank you, Joe Marie. Joe Marie Scaglia. She's basically got this fabulous, you know, coffee bar and then this really nice pastry display. So it's another place that proudly puts all their pastries on display. So it's really hard to sit there and not order one when you're getting your coffee. But she served me a giant cappuccino that was as big as my head, along with a donut from that she brings in from Hannah's Donuts, which is a
great
local donut shop. And this one was an old fashioned. I'm not a fan of cake donuts, but this was an old fashioned with the right amount of glaze. It was hot. It was delicious. So I have to say, giant cappuccinos as big as your head and a donut from Hannah's Coffee from Cafeteria.
We are hearing some recommendations from our listeners, again, via Twitter. We're at KCURCST. In Lawrence. So we're hearing about Wake the Dead. That's one recommendation.
Great
in Lawrence.
Name.
Yeah. And Coffee Corner, both spelled with a K, but with beans from J&S Coffee Company, which is also in Lawrence, apparently. I haven't heard of any of these places.
I haven't either.
I wrote about Wake the Dead, and it's more of kind of cocktails and coffee again, but it's like crazy donuts with, you know, interesting fillings and toppings. It's kind of the voodoo donut style place. And, you know, whether you want a cocktail or a coffee, they'll serve it any hour of the day or night. So it's kind of a young, colorful, fun, you know, happening place.
That certainly seems to be the trend now, coffee mm-hmm. and cocktails.
Yeah.
Any other fun Lawrence places that we want to give a shout out to?
Well, I would do 1900 Barker Coffee and Pastries. They've
oh
got the
gosh.
Best pastries and breads there.
Well, who does their coffee, Mary? At 1900 Barker.
I honestly don't know.
They bring in their beans from several different places,
okay.
Some local and some not. I mean, they really kind of switch it up.
Because they have good coffee, really mm-hmm. good coffee.
Oh, my gosh. Well, James Beard nomination for that bread, so.
Yeah, that is incredible. And then how about Maps in Lenexa? I know that we're going to be trying some of that at Jenny's house in our next segment. But
yeah, Maps is a favorite of mine. Honestly, that's what I keep at home.
And one of our listeners is recommending that.
Yeah. No, Maps is great. Vincent is the owner at Maps, and he's been roasting coffee for several years now. He had a kind of a bike shop coffee combo, but now he's switching over and doing chocolate. So he's sold off the bike business, and it has moved out of the shop in downtown Lenexa. And basically, he's coffee and chocolate now.
Well, Charles, Mary, Jenny, thank you all so much.
Thanks, Gina.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and on a weekday morning, not too long ago, I visited one of our food critics here on Central Standard, Jenny Vergara, at her house.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Come on in. Good morning.
Jenny is the managing editor of Feast magazine, and in the interest of full disclosure, I think she's really cool. I just like her style. She makes funny jokes, and she really seems to know food. So I figured one of the best ways to get to know someone and cement a friendship is a coffee date.
Okay, coffee? Question mark.
Sure, yeah.
Yes for coffee? Okay, so.
Another confession. I was also dying to see Jenny's kitchen.
The kitchen is pretty much everything in this house, which is probably why I love it and why I'm here.
Jenny lives in a small modern house, and you can see everything from the kitchen. An entire wall doubles as a garage door that opens to the backyard.
I've hung cafe lights out there, so literally for those few months where the bugs are, you know, nil to low, I can go out there and serve people, and I just love it.
So we've been talking about coffee, and Jenny has a recipe for something that goes great with coffee.
I think it's called a melting shortbread cookie, and it's one of those go-tos that I've had for years and years kind of in my arsenal.
But the coffee comes first.
What is your history with coffee, just out of curiosity? Like, are you a longtime coffee drinker?
Or? I'm not. In fact, my parents grew up drinking terrible Folgers, mostly my mom. And I never understood it. And so, so I was really late to coffee. And I think it was just a matter of, you know, as soon as I started kind of working corporately, there was a lot of business meetings that were happening around coffee. And it's really dumb to sit there at a business meeting where everyone's drinking coffee and you've got what, water, orange juice? What are you, five? So
those corporate jobs didn't just get Jenny hooked on coffee. They got her into food. She used to do marketing for a restaurant group.
I realized I was starting to learn to cook as a home cook and starting to really enjoy it, almost like a hobby. And that was really what led to food blogging and eventually food writing.
Do you remember the first food blog post you wrote?
The true first food post I did was just terrible. It was a post that recommended a really sweet Riesling, which is where I was drinking probably at the time, and some sort of black pepper cashew nut. And somehow I had been eating the cashews and ended up taking a sip of the wine, and I just thought this pairing was so magical that it deserved its own blog post. I go back now and I look at it and I go, ooh, that Riesling, was I drinking that one? Oh, it's a little sweet now for me.
This is a crucial part of Jenny's story. She didn't get her start as an ambitious culinary star on the rise. She got her start the way most of us do, just learning how to feed herself and her family. And slowly, she got better at it. Her taste may be sophisticated now, but she doesn't shun the eater or the cook she used to be. She doesn't delete her old blog posts, and she doesn't get rid of old cookbooks.
Cookbooks now have become almost like coffee table books for me. I don't know if that's a testament to how much my culinary prowess has grown or if it's literally just, I like looking at them though. I mean, I tried to kind of thin the herd when I moved into this house and forget it. They're all my babies. There's a cookbook up there, a Rachel Ray cookbook, I'm loath to admit, that like totally taught me how to cook. Like that was kind of my first, I made almost everything in that cookbook at least once. And I loved it. And Rachel Ray's kind of, you know, passe now, but I love the fact that, you know, she still lives on my shelf somewhere because it's a testament to where I started.
Among the cookbooks on Jenny's shelf is a little spiral-bound notebook with a red and white checked cover. It's the one with the recipe we're making today, and it looks like it was a freebie from Better Homes and Gardens. Jenny's taken handwritten notes.
So, and here I've even changed the recipe, so it looks like I liked a little more sugar in it at one point or so. So, yeah, I love this. Do you want to go ahead and get started?
Yeah.
Making cookies? This recipe literally has like five ingredients.
She's not kidding about that either. Flour, powdered sugar, salt, and butter. That's it. And they don't want you to get out the mixer. You do it all by hand.
There is something kind of old school about touching ingredients and not just throwing everything in a mixing bowl and doing things... my grandmother would have called it to eye. So, you know, what things look like is how you know when something's done. And I'm not a careful cook necessarily or a careful baker. I mean, if I make a mess, to me, that's kind of part of it.
At first, the mixture feels like sandy pebbles, then it gets papery, and then finally, it makes a dough. You shape the dough into logs that you wrap and refrigerate. You'll eventually cut those logs into slices that become cookies.
Now, I will confess, the ones that I'm cutting up now have a little tiny bit of orange zest in them.
I think. Why do you say that like it's a bad thing? That's awesome.
So I've deviated from the recipe. I'm known for, that's kind of my signature trademark, is looking at a recipe, making something and going, I know.
The cookies need to bake for 10 minutes, which gives us a chance to start on that coffee.
Sugar, milk, anything in your coffee?
No, you want to know why? Because you have told me that these are great with black coffee, and I want to try exactly the magic that you recommend.
All right. Let's take a peek.
It turns out we set the oven to the wrong temperature, so we have to wait a little longer than expected.
I think it needs just a minute more.
Jenny has a pretty laid-back attitude in the kitchen. Her side gig is something called Test Kitchen, where she organizes pop-up dinners with local chefs, and she calls it Test Kitchen for a reason.
It is kind of one of those things where I think with time and probably a little confidence, you get to the point where you're like, yeah, you know, if it doesn't work out, I mean, I always joke at Test Kitchen, right? So here's the best chefs in the city coming to cook at my underground supper club. I say, well, if it all goes wrong, we'll just order pizza.
The cookies come out of the oven golden brown on the bottom. They're perfect, despite our mix-up, and they are awesome with just a cup of black coffee.
You are so right about the combo. And seriously, who needs cream and sugar? This is replacing the cream and sugar.
Mm-hmm. The butter makes these cookies so rich. And then just that little bit of orange zest, it's kind of the dark chocolate orange kind of combo, which is historically in culinary terms very, very popular. It kind of with the orange zest and then the dark coffee kind of representing the chocolate, to me this is the jam. It's delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Thanks for baking with us, and thanks to Jenny Vergara for welcoming me into her house for cookies and coffee. Go to kcur.org/centralstandard for the official list of the best coffee shops in Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend, everyone.